Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Are you ready for cocktails?
Yes, every day.
All right. We say to the states, most creative bartenders, you know the classic martini. Now go for it. Give us your best innovation. And the competition begins. It's the fifth annual Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Martini Competition, Thursday, June 19th, at the Riverview in Simsbury, Connecticut. Wall-to-wall competitors, fantastic chefs serving the best food, and you are given a ballot when you walk in the door. We tally your votes at the end of the night, and we have our Food Schmooze cocktail champion, the Dance Music Sizzles. It is one of the hottest scenes around, a sellout experience, so jump in for tickets at $65 each to benefit WNPR and CPTV. Yes, CPTV is shooting it this year. Go online now for tickets at ctmartini.org. That is ctmartini.org. Easy to remember. We're here to party on the air with you. We have cocktails to mix. Our recipes are online right now. We have Chris Prosperi, senior contributor of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury. Alex Province of Hartford is back, and he makes a fabulous cocktail. Anthony DeSario of Connecticut, he's president of the U.S. Bartenders Guild and works for Worldwide Wines, sending over a lot of supplies for us. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Faith.
How
you doing,
Faith? We have our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and count me in as a cocktail lover. Americans know how to do this, as you're about to hear. The cocktail scene has become so exciting, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And it's not just America, just Connecticut. And I always wanted to come out and at least say, you know, for what you've done for the past 5 years now with this competition has been fantastic. I've always had a blast at it. The competition alone, meeting and greeting other people that are like-minded in the cocktail scene, and you recognizing the state of Connecticut and what we can do for cocktails is just phenomenal.
Oh, Anthony, it's everybody on the show, everybody at WNPR and CBTV. So thank you so much on behalf of all those people for saying that. You know, the number one thing is for me, it is a good time.
It's a great time.
It is so fun.
It is so much fun. Yeah.
I really think it is the hottest party of the season.
It is. I usually live like an hour or so away, and I have no problem driving all the way out there just to compete, to participate. This year I don't get to, but at least I get to contribute this time.
We said make a choice.
Yeah, make a choice.
You're either on the show or you're a competitor, and you were so thank you for being so gracious. And thanks to Worldwide for sending over a lot of supplies that we need. And thanks to Frederick Wildman and Sons for sending us over some things, too. We'll get to that. So let's start.
So what's the definition of a cocktail? Is it going to be just all martinis? Or?
Well, we're using the word, right, Anthony? We have St. Anthony's permission. Innovative martinis. So by that we mean a kind of a spin on the martini. This is
sure.
What, Anthony, is it fair to say this is what Americans and maybe bartenders all around the world have done? They started to play. Of course, we know the classic martini. It's fantastic. It can't be beat. But we're stretching that definition at our competition.
We are, yeah. In the past, 8 to 10 years, you know, we've really stretched, you know, martinis from being gin and dry vermouth. They're moving over to vodka in the 50s where, you know, it killed gin. And now everybody's doing the vodka martinis, and then, you know, come the 90s, and here we are coming with the flavored vodkas are coming in, so now we're making flavored martinis, chocolate martinis, you know, and so on and so forth, and it just keeps escalating and escalating as we get more products, we get more creative, we study our history.
And the spirits are changing.
And the spirits change daily, and there's more and more out there. Small craft is huge right now. We're making them right here in America again. We're not importing as much as we used to. Just fantastic things are happening. But, you know, true definition of a cocktail is spirit, sugar, and sour.
And you will see this at the martini competition. You will see everything imaginable. Lori and Jonathan, Chris, remember when Anthony, too, remember last year, and this happens every year, the displays at these cocktail stations, so extraordinary.
Amazing.
You cannot
Absolutely.
Believe it.
One person was actually showing movies.
right?
Yeah.
On a reel-to-reel right. projector.
We're going to see if that's going to happen again.
But the bacon rose was one of my favorite things.
Me too.
That was really nice, yes.
Of bacon roses. And then pouring the cocktails through ice sculptures.
Jonathan, do you remember the sluice? That someone had, I don't even know what a sluice is. It makes like sort of a Z, and it was made out of ice, and they poured up. How did that work? It worked. They poured at the top, and the alcohol went in a Z down.
Yeah, it's like that Plinko game on The Price is Right.
An adult Plinko game.
Through the center of the ice, it was and then at the bottom of the ice, it came pouring out into glasses as you walked by.
It was nicely chilled.
And it was so cold right, when it went in the glass. I know, that's a great, great point. All right, let's see. Who's up first? We've got cocktails to make for you. Don't worry about writing them down. They're at our website, WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. Christopher Prosperi is up. What do you call your drink, Chris?
All right, I'm going to do a basil ginger Prosecco fizz.
That's a mouthful,
but you know what? I'm not even going to take full credit for this because my main guy, Ryan Pelletier, at 11 o'clock last night, I said, I need a cocktail for tomorrow. Can you make me a cocktail? And he's like, yeah, sure. What kind of cocktail do you want? And I was blank. So he went to the bar and I watched him do this and it was fascinating because as I watched him, it was like it was me in the kitchen cooking. He could actually, as he was pouring the things, I could see the wheels turning. Like, he knew what that flavor was going to add to it. And he knew what the next flavor was going to add to it as he did this. And he just came up with this on the cuff. We tasted it. It was amazing.
Oh, okay. Right? Let's go.
All right, so
let's
we're go. Starting with basil vodka.
Okay, going
so
into
we,
the
so,
shaker.
Yeah, so we have a shaker with ice, right?
Yeah.
And a shot and a half of basil vodka. And then he had this thing called ginger liqueur. And we said you could buy it in any package store or wine shop. So ginger liqueur. And then we top it off with lemonade. Okay, and that goes in there, and then a shot or so of Prosecco. There's the fizz. Right, you got the fizz. And then
we're about to learn an exciting lesson in bartending in about 2 seconds. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
He said to shake very lightly.
Yes. Okay.
Because it has the fizz in it. I watched this yesterday. He's like, you can even stir it if you don't want to shake it. Okay. Right. So.
Just see, we thought we had you on that.
No. I was trained by a professional bartender last night. So give it a little stir, and then.
How easy is this?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Now
a little
pour
strainer,
it. And,
it and then we
into
pour
the
it in
glasses. The... Now just.
We'll pass those around.
Thank you.
And here you are. I'm passing to you and you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So let's give it a shot.
Cheers.
So I already tried mine, and it's nothing like I've ever had before.
It's clean.
It's clean.
Clean. You know, crisp.
Ryan, that Hell is a here. Delicious
yeah.
cocktail. Isn't that good,
it's fantastic.
Anthony?
I mean, the balances create so, just that little bit of fizz in there. The basil and ginger is, you know, like you're saying, star anise.
But I have a question to you as a bartender. Was I right in watching him? It was... I saw the same thing. Like, I'm standing over a soup pot, and I'm adding a little spice and a little basil and a little this. And in my head, because I have those flavors stored, what they do, and an ounce of this, I know what an ounce of, let's say if I put an ounce of lemon juice in a sauce, I know what that ounce of lemon juice in the half a cup of stock and cream, I already know what it tastes like. I'm going to go back and taste it, but because I have those memories stored, and the way he was concocting this last night, just 1, 2, 3, you could see his, like, the working of his mind going. Oh, yeah. Like, he already knew what that ginger, because he knew the flavor of the ginger liqueur, and he knew the flavor of the basil, and he knew what was going to happen when they went together.
Okay. Let me say, this is one, would be one of the best summer cocktails you could
Absolutely.
Make.
Definitely.
Oh, wow. Ryan Pelletier, thank you so much at Metro Beast. Chris, thank you for making that. Great job. Okay.
Nice.
Hey, I want to tell you something. Anthony, you as Connecticut president of the United States Bartenders Guild.
That's a mouthful, so yeah.
I should call you Your Highness.
I think. Well, I'm president.
Mr. President.
El Presidente.
El Presidente.
Yeah, El Presidente.
So El Presidente. There's a book called Forgotten Drinks of Colonial New England, and I started going through it just for fun, and I just couldn't believe the things that were in here that we used to drink in New England. Here's a cocktail called the Cherry Bounce, and the book says, Early Americans imbued their beloved drinks with irreverent and often vivid names. Case in point, the Cherry Bounce, made by dropping fresh sour cherries into your spirit of choice, usually brandy or rum in those days, adding some sugar and patiently waiting for the fruit's juices to infuse the drink. Cherry Bounce was a favorite libation of Martha Washington, as well as her husband George, who carted a canteen of it with him to Pennsylvania during a post-war journey. It's best sipped at room temperature, although it responds kindly to some ice and a splash of sparkling water. The Cherry Bounce goes... These drinks of ours in New England go all the way back to the 1600s.
Oh, absolutely. I believe George Washington was one of the... Or actually, well, not only being the first president, he was a lover of Barbados rum. And I believe he's the only president to actually travel to Barbados. And at his inauguration...
For the rum.
For the rum. At his inauguration, it's been noted by David Wondrich... Might be an imbibe, his James Beard Award-winning book, where we go back and find out that he actually demanded that there be a keg of Barbados rum at his inauguration as President of the United States.
Wow. For or for
just
himself?
It was a hell of a party, so, yeah. It's,
and, a keg of rum.
Been to ours, does that sound familiar?
Oh, yes, it does. And New England was one of the largest producers of rum in the world at one time.
All right, who's up next? Oh, I am.
I yield the bar.
All right, now I'm going to make what is an Italian champagne cocktail. It's not fair to call it champagne because I'm using only sparkling wine from the Champagne region is classified as champagne. So this is really an Italian sparkling wine cocktail because I have actually a Spanish cava. I didn't want to spring
for the
French champagne. And here is the other thing. We have on our bar here, we have all kinds of bottles of things. You cannot believe the flavors that all the folks have brought along with them. The one thing I forgot to do is stop at the market and get a blood orange.
Well, actually, I'm going to jump over and give you a hand there with because we have ruby red grapefruit juice and a sweetened lemon mix over there. We can put the two together, and it'll pretty much...
The grapefruit juice and the Meyer lemon?
It's going to get as close to blood orange as you can get.
Anthony DeSaria. All right, that's clever. And while you're doing that, I'm going to open this cava, which is the Spanish name for sparkling wine. I am a fan of a very inexpensive one when I'm having parties or if I want to fool around with it, and it's Segura Viudas. It's the Brut, and it's about $9-$10 a bottle. So, you know, you certainly would make a gorgeous cocktail if you had a French champagne. I just wouldn't do it. I'd be
drinking the champagne.
I'd be drinking that just plain as it is. Okay, here we go.
We're all ducking.
Here we go. Here it is.
Here it goes.
There we go.
Oh, okay. There we go. I had a towel over that, so it wasn't as dramatic as it might be. Okay, so you have made a blood orange juice. May I have a taste of that? Anthony DeSaria, thank you. Mm. Oh, you're a genius. It tastes exactly. This is what makes a great bartender right here. Even knows how to do a mix from scratch. So I'm going to put in about an ounce of blood orange juice, or you could do a blood orange puree, or make one up just as Anthony did. And then I'm going to put in a half ounce of an Italian liqueur, which is called Aperol. You could use Campari. More people know that. Aperol is just a beautiful thing. It's filled with all those mystery herbs and spices, but it's a little on the bitter side. So just about a quarter ounce of that to make the Italian champagne cocktail. And now here we go. The Prosecco is going in, and I'm going to do it gently down the side here. Okay, this is going into the shaker too. Again, these cocktail recipes that we're featuring on the show are going to be, I'm going to put some ice in here, are going to be featured on our website. So that's WNPR.org. Search programs to see the link to the Faith Middleton Fuchsmuss. Okay, here we go. Oh!
It happens.
Oops.
As a refreshing drink.
I'm going to put a little bit more ice in here. And yep. Okay, because I've just sprayed my pants.
This is a normal occupational hazard, I guess.
I know, okay. Here
Absolutely.
We go. So I'm just going to shake very gently. That's what you do to make the Italian champagne cocktail. So, because we don't want to wreck all the fizz. that is in here. And I suppose if you feel, well, there's not enough, now I'm going to pass this out to all of you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Here we go. Okay, Lori, Jonathan, Alex, Anthony, and Chris, there you go. Cheers, cheers, everybody.
Cheers. I really like the color.
Yeah,
of this.
I was just going to say that. The color is beautiful.
Mm. Yeah. It's a beautiful, like, aperitif before dinner. Reminds me of classic spritz, which is the Campari and the champagne, or the Campari and the Prosecco. So that's the classic Italian cocktail. I mean, it's on fire all over there. And just the addition of the blood orange that you did really just kind of toned it down, made it a little sweeter. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but it has that note of bitterness because you don't want anything too sweet before dinner. At least right. I don't. Yeah, although I make an exception for Lillet on the rocks. But this has that bitter note that I really like.
It's low alcohol, right? Because you didn't use vodka.
Correct.
Right.
And Aperol has a lower alcohol content as well.
That bitterness, right? Doesn't that
gets you hungry?
Yeah, it stimulates your appetite, yeah. So you're ready for a nice meal. So this would be a great way to start an afternoon barbecue.
We were all talking about the color. So how would you describe it? A slightly orangey.
It looks like some versions of a Cosmo.
slightly more orange.
Because of the cranberry juice or the raspberry liqueur, however people make a Cosmo. This is kind of a pale coral from orange of the Aperol and from the beautiful blood orange mixture that Anthony just invented, and I think you should sell. Yeah. Okay,
that's a beautiful color.
We look good on his shirt.
And I look like, my pants look like a Jackson Pollock right at the moment. So, because I made the thing you learn in bartending school, right, Anthony? The first thing is do not mix your cocktail into both sides of the shaker and then and mix them together.
Oh, I thought it was going to be something like stand back.
That's a given, but we definitely want to stand back.
I finally got it together. This is why I respect these cocktail makers. Our recipes are online right now for these cocktails we're making. The whole idea with these is to keep them as simple as possible. And our martini competition is Thursday, June 19th at Riverview in Simsbury, Connecticut. Hundreds of tickets have been sold. You've got to come. Just go to ctmartini.org online right now to get a ticket. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more cocktails and our special edition of the Fooshmoose. I'm Faith Middleton, the Food Schmooze Party, this special edition, our cocktail show here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 and Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. And thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our returning buddy Alex Province of Hartford, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, Anthony DeSario, who is Connecticut president of the United States Bartenders Guild, their producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. And we thank you first and foremost for listening. WNPR's content director is Jim Cutie. Okay, this is what we're doing. We're talking about our Fooshmoose Martini competition, and you're invited to party with all of us Thursday, June 19th. We're about to mix another cocktail. There is sizzling dance music at our event, wall-to-wall innovative martini stations, food stations, and you wander, sample, and then vote with a ballot for the top cocktail, and we crown the king or queen of the martini competition. The winner is celebrated in Connecticut Magazine, and CPTV will be the on hand to capture the action as it unfolds this year. Tickets are $65 to benefit WNPR and CPTV. Go online now to ctmartini.org. That is easy to remember, I think. ctmartini.org. Alex Province, Lay it on us. What do you have there? All right, a shaker is at the ready.
I've got an easy one. The only hard thing about this cocktail is the name, which I've already forgotten.
Okay.
But I named it.
So just rename it.
All right.
That wasn't difficult at all.
So after the winter we had, I was thinking of flowers and the smell of flowers. And so this is an orange blossom martini. And there's a couple kinds of orange blossom. There's a water and a syrup. So the syrup has sugar. It's like a simple syrup.
And where do you get these? You get these on
Matt got it online. I know, Chris, you were saying it's easy
Cosmos.
To...
Cosmos, yeah. Cosmos, yeah. The Middle Eastern store in Hartford, and West Hartford has all kinds of little flavorings like that rose water and
it smells
water.
So good.
Or online, yeah. Oh, okay, so into the shaker you drop some ice. And
so
now...
I did ice. I'm going to do 3 ounces of good vodka.
Vodka going in.
And I'm going to get it in the shaker. I hope. So the syrup
now,
is...
unlike me, are you pouring it just into one side of the shaker?
Yeah. the big side. And so I have this little bottle of the syrup, and it comes in...
So that... what is that called? Read the name.
So it's Parfum Fleur d'Orange.
So that's a French product, but you bought it online?
Yeah. You know where we got the idea?
This is an orange syrup, in other words.
Yeah.
What does it say the ingredients are?
It's basically sugar and then the aroma, the orange blossom aroma is the
okay, so you could take a simple syrup of sugar water and put in some orange zest.
Totally amazing.
And make your own, right?
Well, maybe. The zest is going to give you a little more citrus notes to it, or that's going to give you more floral notes.
Yeah,
so.
Smell this. It's like, it smells more, it's like the flower.
Yeah, no, I just did. Yeah,
right?
If you could get orange blossoms and steep those like a tea into the simple syrup.
Are we going to get orange blossoms?
On your orange tree.
Yeah, no, my orange tree has blossoms. Tree. That's where I got the idea, but I didn't have the heart to snip any of the flowers off because I was going to garnish it. I was like, oh, poor little flower. So, no.
So
you can pour as much or as little as the syrup you want. Like, if you're having an aversion to sugar, you don't need a lot. But I'm going to do, like, to 3 ounces of vodka, I'm going to do, like, a half an ounce or maybe a little bit more of this stuff. And the idea is it's like a nice icy cold martini with just a touch of sugar and then the beautiful, like, flowery aroma. Let's see. I should probably shake this, right?
Okay, top on the shaker. Go for it.
Oh, really?
And I like
love
the ice
sound.
Crystal, so I'm gonna.
That's
a beautiful sound.
Shake.
Okay.
Now you're straining it to keep the ice in the shaker, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, into our martini glasses it goes.
Pretend like there's a little orange blossom in there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Anthony, while this is going in the glass, as a true mixologist, I wanted ice to go into my martini glasses. Just a couple of cubes in every glass. Is that legal?
Absolutely. It's the way the customer wants it. If you want ice in it, if you want the dirty rocks on the side, however you want your drink is the right way to make the drink.
All right, that
sounds
good.
Because I like those little shards of ice.
Yes, so totally
Alex,
floating on top like you can ice skate.
Yes. Yeah. So once again, this is orange flower water, a good vodka.
3 ounces. And then just to taste a little bit of this Florida orange. It's just... Okay. Orange blossom aroma with simple syrup. And it gives it, I mean, the thought is when you're drinking this, it smells like springtime. It's just clean, tastes like a vodka martini with just like a
floral
Floral note.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's
a good one.
It's
a good one. Again.
That's a good martini.
Do you want to know the name for real?
Yeah, what is the name
so
for real?
So called it Atahar, which is...
One more time.
God bless you.
Well, so in Sevilla, in the springtime, there's all these orange blossoms. And that season, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, is called Atahar. And I thought, oh, that's such a like pretty name for martini. If I dare you to go to your favorite bar and ask for it.
Can I have an Atahar? And they'll be like, we can't serve you anymore.
I was just going to say the same thing.
So we need a new name.
Orange Blossom Martini.
Yeah, the Orange Blossom Martini. I think that's what we'll call it online. And, of course, they're all up there. All of our recipes at WNPR.org. Click on Programs to find the Food Schmooze link. And what are we doing? We are with the President, El Presidente, of the Connecticut Bartenders League for the United States, and that is Anthony DiSerio. And we have Christopher Prosperi with us, Alex Province, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. And we're doing this. It's our annual Food Schmooze Martini Competition Special Edition. And we're doing this because we would like to invite you to come. It is one of the greatest parties ever. It's Thursday, June 19th at Riverview in Simsbury. Hundreds of tickets have already been sold, and it is always a sellout. So jump right in. Some people are teaming up for limos. Some people have rented rooms at inns and hotels. There's a discount for designated drivers. Tickets are $65 each. And to benefit WNPR and CPTV, CPTV, by the way, is going to be shooting all the action as it unfolds. Go online now to get your tickets and information at ctmartini.org. Starts at 6 o'clock. We have a fantastic DJ thanks to Power Station Events, and people start dancing, and it just goes on and on. And then you vote when you come in the door. You have a ballot that is given to you, and then you get to sample at all the stations, go to the food stations. We want to make sure you get plenty to eat that's really delicious, so you have all kinds of great restaurant chefs. In just a little bit, I'm going to name all the participants in this thing. You will not believe who is doing this. I mean, it's just astonishing, everyone who's jumped in. Anthony, said that...
It's the party of the year. My brothers and sisters of the USBG Connecticut chapter, they're ready to go. They work at a lot of the restaurants that are going to be competing. I'm a four-time veteran. Again, it's the party of the year. And right now, I know they're all out there listening, and they're all out there talking to one another, and they're on their Facebooks and their social media tweeting, I'm going to beat you at Faith this year. I'm going to make the best. We're talking about right now. We're ready to throw down, and they're really gearing up to make some great cocktails this year.
They're talking smack.
They are talking a lot of smack out there. So this is going to be, I'm going to say, one of the best that you've ever had.
Okay.
So, yeah, you definitely got to get the tickets.
Now I'm very excited.
You know what? One of the things I like is once you're going around and people start coming in, you start hearing like, oh, did you try this cocktail? Or you have to go try that cocktail. And as the night goes through, the consensus sort of builds, and you get an idea of where the hot spots are and which cocktails the people are liking more just by the conversations people are having.
Chris, that is a great thing that you're saying. Yeah. And you know what?
It's absolutely rewarding what he's saying is when someone comes up to my table, like someone told me we had to have this martini, we had to come over to XYZ restaurant. You know, and just to see everybody just all of a sudden coming up, can I have another? Yeah. And
can you only vote once?
Yes, you can only vote once.
Okay.
So the bartenders who are competing, you're at the guild, and so you see them all. Do they test these on customers and see how it's like a focus group? Do they see how it goes?
Yeah, everybody does it a little bit differently. Okay. I mean, but some will work on it on their drink list in their restaurant, and it sells very well. So we want to promote this for our restaurant out of the Faith Middleton Cocktail Competition at the Food Schmooze, and we do that.
And I was going to say that a lot last time, so many of the bartenders and restaurants featured the cocktail that they made from the competition and said so right on the menu. And so, you know, people who had been to the competition were excited and started ordering those cocktails because they'd said, oh, I remember this. Oh, you should have seen the dry ice smoke wafting around the room and all of that.
Some
okay.
people are secretive, though, I can imagine, right? They don't want anyone to know.
I went up to someone and asked them what they were preparing, and they were like, shh, can't tell you.
Yeah,
because don't want the word to get out, like what I'm making.
Oh, yes, because the competition is severe. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Anthony DiSerio, who is president of the Connecticut chapter of the United States Bartenders Guild.
Dun, da, da, da.
Anthony, you're at the bar. What's the cocktail you're
going to
make?
Right now, I'm going to make something that I call American Pie. And it's made with all American ingredients. I'm going to use a US-1 American bourbon, small batch. I'm going to do about an ounce and a half to 2 ounces. And if you notice, I am actually making this in a mixing glass. I'm not putting this into the tin. This way I can eyeball what I'm doing. I can see my ounces and what I'm doing.
Very cool.
I also have an American-made spice.
You mean you know by color?
I know by color. I know by where the alcohol falls in the glass. I've been doing it. Well, after
20
years, you just kind of know where your ounce and a half and your ounces are. Plus, you also count as you go.
Do you have a favorite glass that you travel? Like,
actually,
my glass?
I'm using it right now.
Very cool.
Okay, so it's very thick.
And now I'm adding a spice pear liqueur. Spice pear liqueur. It's American made from California.
What is that?
It's a St. George spirits.
Wow, interesting.
It.
Okay.
This is one of their new lines, and Worldwide was kind enough to let me bring it on the show today.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, thank you.
And then we have just some fresh lemon juice. with a little bit of agave nectar in there.
California lemons, I'm sure.
So freshly squeezed lemon juice with a little agave in there.
Just a little agave in there.
Take the acidic note right off of it.
So again, you know, simple cocktail is spirit, sweet, sour.
And you're putting the ice in after.
Now I'm putting my ice in after, absolutely. Because what I want to do is I want to control what's called the dilution ratio. If I put my ice in first, I'm going to melt more ice by taking room temperature spirit and putting that over the ice and melt the ice down. This way, I only lose 25% of my cocktail to water.
All right. Now, the metal top goes on the glass, slamming it in place.
Make sure that it shakes. And we're going to shake.
And he shakes vigorously.
You know, I love my cocktail to be ice cold.
Me too.
Ice cold. And so you would make me happy.
So we shake it until we have a little frost on our tin. That's where we break it, where the frost meets the glass.
Very cool.
So I've had to get stuck at that point where I couldn't get the top glass out.
So you break it right where you can see the frost line on the tin and where it stops.
Yep.
That just put your palm of your hand right there every time.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I missed that.
This is what they teach in bartending school. Isn't that great?
Yeah. How many times have you got the top glass stuck into the bottom?
And who's banging it against the side of the bar? They're breaking their glasses.
Thank you. That's great. That's great advice.
Now I'm not going to have to be like drenched in my cocktail anymore.
There you go. I wish I told Faith that earlier. I could have saved your pants.
I know it. Well, there you go. I'm afraid I made several of the novice bartender mistakes, despite that I make cocktails all the time.
So American Pie, I was going for like a peach pie.
Mm. Oh, Anthony, this is a remarkably delicious.
Wow.
I expected this to be so sweet, which is just personal taste, not my thing. And it's got all the balance of what you talked about. A little note of sweetness, but also sour.
Oh, we have the sweet, the sour, the spice. You have the fruitiness of the pear.
Oh,
smell.
You know, and the U.S. 1 bourbon, the small batch, you know, with the higher corn base, it also makes it a little more sweeter in the barrel
aging.
What brand is
that? I'm not suggesting any brands here. I'm just...
This is Michter's.
Oh, it's Michter's. I know this one, yeah. I love bourbon, so I know all kinds of bourbon.
This is amazing.
It is
not
amazing.
Not just the taste, but the aroma.
Yeah. You know when you're making the apple pie, you slice all the apples, you put them in a
bowl,
you put the acid, you put the sugar and the spice, and then you lick your finger.
That's what it is.
That's what it tastes like.
And the smell is the raw apple pie in the pie crust before you top it.
Yeah.
To me, though, it tastes like if you made a pear into flowers, I get this kind of pear.
Being a spiced pear liqueur.
It's amazing.
The liqueur is made from Bosch pears. I believe there's 50 pears in every bottle.
Wow.
That's a winner.
I like your description. I don't get the apple pie thing as much as I get the pear, but I am with you on the pie and the dipping your finger.
hence the name American Pie. Yes.
Okay.
American
so
spirits
you
in
will,
a pie-flavored cocktail.
You will see this online if you go to our site. All the cocktails that we're making for you in this hour are online. Just go to WNPR.org and search programs to see the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze link. Anthony DeSerio just made a knockout cocktail, and we're doing this because it's time for the Food Schmooze Martini Competition. This is our special edition to get you ready for this, because you're invited to party with all of us. We'll all be there. Thursday, June 19th, sizzling dance music, wall-to-wall innovative martini stations, food stations, and you vote for the top cocktail, and then we crown, based on your votes as an attendee, we crown the king or queen of the Food Schmooze Martini Competition. The winner is celebrated in Connecticut Magazine, and CPTV will be on hand to capture the action as it unfolds. Tickets are $65 each to benefit WNPR and CPTV. Go online right now to ctmartini.org. That's ctmartini.org. We know you will drink responsibly, and there is a discount if you have a designated driver. We're going to take a quick break, and then more cocktails coming your way here on our special cocktail edition of the Food Schmooze.
Shake your body now to the ground.
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Tweet us at FaithWNPR, and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. This is our special martini competition edition of the Food Schmooze. We want to see you there on Thursday night, June 19th. At Riverview in Simsbury, Connecticut, when we have the mixologists, the bartenders, everybody there. Let me tell you who is participating in this for both wine and cocktail making. Again, none of the cocktails that are on the show today, nor any of the people on the show, will be competing. We want to make sure this is fair. So you're gonna. We have On 20, Tassane Euro Asian Cafe, Millwrights, Infinity Hall Bistro, Perk on Main, Firebox Restaurant, Eli Restaurant Group, Lime Grill, Quench Cafe, Spice Catering, Bar Taco, Plan B, The Cocktail Chemist, Barcelona, J. Christian's, Matthew's Restaurant, The Doubletree Timeout Sports Bar, Max Burger, Bobby V's, Inn at Middletown, Sal A. Pepe, Apricots, Agave, Chamard Vineyards, Vinted, Pond House Cafe, Cuvée, Carbones, Esca, Luce, Rooftop 120, Jay Gilbert's, Peppercorns, Ken Z. We hope to see Bee and Thistle, the Old Lime Inn, West Street Grill, Heirloom, Pacifico. On and on it goes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Okay, you must be 21 or older to attend. I should say that.
Yeah. So I've tallied my votes so far, right, because I can tally for now. And the American Pie so far is my favorite.
It's
but there's
the
more
lead.
To come. But it's in the lead. I liked yours, though, Faith. I kept yours.
The presentation.
No, listen. I kept yours, Faith, because I love this color. The coral. You know, but this is a neat color, too.
Chris, you are so kind.
But this is,
because
look at the
color. Really, it was like Lucille Ball mixing a cocktail.
and the color looks great. On your pants as well.
Thank you. So I'm putting out a note to all of you as listeners. Does anyone know how to get Aperol out of fabric? Because it's on my white corduroy pants. Okay, here we go. I told you about the book, which is the history of New England cocktails. And just for fun, I wanted to mention this cocktail to you. It is called the Rattle Skull. Apparently, back in the day, we used to make this. The history says professional drinkers know that more than one Boilermaker, a shot of whiskey chased with a pint of beer, will knock you sideways. In colonial New England, tavern goers didn't bother with keeping the two alcohols apart. They tossed a mix of intoxicating liquors together into the most bracing of bracers, the Rattle Skull. Although this blend of dark beer, rum, lime, and nutmeg didn't differ much from the other rum drinks of the day, it packed a wallop from its proportions. 4 or 5 ounces of hard liquor dropped into strong dark beer. It's dangerously smooth. If you'd like to try one on for size, do it at home alone when you're sure that bedtime is not. So here's what's in the traditional Rattle Skull, and we'll have this online. A pint of porter or other dark beer, 3/4 of an ounce of rum, 3/4 of an ounce of brandy, and beer. I think I have everything. In any case, this is what has been going on all this time. You know, we think we are bringing back cocktails from the 30s or something. You know, we're bringing back cocktails from, I would imagine, the 1600s.
Oh, Rattle Skull. 1700s, absolutely.
It sounds like a pirate drink, the Rattle Skull.
Does. Well, that's where the rum comes from, right?
That's where everything comes from. I mean, we're talking colonial times. You did what you had with what you had and what ingredients were available. I mean, you look at, you know, what was on board the ships? It was rum. It was lime. It was ales, you know, from England.
Oh, they had limes, fine.
And they had limes back then. You know, now it's a little different story. But yeah, you did what you could with what you had while you were trapped on the ship, and you had to make these things palatable. And
that's,
you
know, the birth of the cocktail in America. Look at that. For the first day we came here, right?
Anthony Desario is El Presidente of the United States Bartenders League in Connecticut. So we've asked you to stand in for our buddy Mark Raymond, who we always call upon. Chartreuse is so popular, we call upon him to make some kind of chartreuse cocktail. And what have you come up with, Anthony?
Here's what I'm going to do right now is a cocktail I dubbed the Pollinator. Is using...
Oh, boy.
Love the names.
So the Pollinator being made with a gin that has a honey base from Caledonia Spirits. We do about an ounce and a half of that. So it's a honey-based gin.
Is that real honey or chemically created?
It's real honey from actually their honey farm in Vermont.
Wow. Okay.
From chemically created bees.
from the bees that are left that are still around.
See, with this research in a cocktail, is coming all these new
small splash of chartreuse. I just want to get that beautiful green color in there. So maybe about a quarter of an ounce.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Chartreuse again, you know, with 150 different botanicals from flowers. So the honeys, the bees, the flowers, hence the Pollinator.
So it's good for you.
And here comes your lemon juice.
A little more fresh lemon.
Fresh lemon juice with
a little bit of agave nectar.
Okay. Do you need that agave in there despite the honey? Yes.
It helps a little bit. I mean, the honey has been distilled down, so it's not as sweet.
So you're in your glass shaker again. Now the ice goes in second.
That's something I learned today.
Anthony's been teaching us. Yeah. Okay. Because it gives it less time to melt into your drink.
Correct.
And I'm guessing that you can also judge the measurements better before the ice,
correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, tops on. Here we go.
Look at that shaking.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it when you have a nice thin coat of ice on top.
He knocks it with the heel of his hand. And there you go.
Just letting the strain get everything out of there. Chartreuse is expensive, so we want to make sure we get every drop out of this mixing glass.
All right, serving it up. That's the way we like to do it. Okay, and while you're serving, let me say another thing from this New England thing. I'm absolutely fascinated with this history of New England drinks. There is a drink called the Flip. In the 1890s, the historian says, we had the Gimlet. I didn't know the Gimlet went back that far.
Thank you.
The 1990s, we had the Cosmo. But in the 1690s and even the 1790s, it was the Creamy Flip that ruled the bar, a drink that sated potato farmers and judges, parsons and paupers, and drew on fire for its distinctly singed character. So this Flip was a blend of beer, rum, a sweetener like molasses, sugar, or dried pumpkin, and occasionally eggs and cream. It was often mixed in a pitcher, spiced with nutmeg, and then heated and singed by plunging a hot fire poker, often called a flip dog, into the middle of the drink. The poker would whip the entire thing into a froth, adding earthy, burnt flavors, and then the barkeep would decant portions into these ceramic flip mugs. Flip was born in England. It was uniquely American to put that fire iron into it instead of putting it in a saucepan. And then it started appearing taverns in the 1690s. And it just coincided with Americans' growing appreciation or lust for rum. It would capture the colonial drinkers' hearts for a century to come. So isn't that fun? All right, now here is your drink. Explain to us what's in here again, quickly. And it's online right now at WNPR.org. Search programs to see the Food Schmooze link.
Again, we just the honey-based gin from Caledonia Spirits, green chartreuse, and fresh squeezed lemon with a little bit of agave.
Oh.
And honestly, this is actually reminding me a lot of the first drink that you just made with the basil and the...
Yeah, it has that same note,
got that,
doesn't it?
That little anise that comes through.
This is a lemonade for a hot summer day. This is what you drink on the porch in Georgia, I would say. Wonderful, wonderful job.
Thank you. I almost want to add some of your Prosecco to the top of this. We call this the Pollinator.
The Pollinator. Okay. Why is that?
The honey-based gin and all the botanical, the 150 different botanicals in the chartreuse.
It's a great name.
You know, bee running around pollinating all these.
All the flowers.
Just put them all together and hence the Pollinator.
I love that. A nice, nice job, Anthony.
Thank you very much.
In case you are just joining the show, save the date Thursday, June 19th, because we are all going to be there and we would like to see you at the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Martini Competition. As the Connecticut Bartenders Guild president tells us, the bartenders around the whole region are talking smack, as he puts it, because they are competing. They all think they're going to win. There are dozens and dozens of bartender stations, and they're gorgeous works of art in themselves. Lots and lots of food stations. You will see everything, the most innovative concoctions to even pour the drinks in the glass. You cannot believe what they do. and it's going to be filmed. We would like you to go, $65 a ticket, to benefit WNPR and CPTV. CPTV will be there to shoot this thing. And this is a sizzling dance music. If you like to dance, go online right now to ctmartini.org. There is a discount for designated drivers. We know you will drink responsibly. No one under 21, of course, is admitted. It's at Riverview in Simsbury, Connecticut, a gorgeous place. We cannot wait to see you there. Did I tell you about the year we had R2-D2, the talking robot, wheeling around the room?
I forgot about that.
Did I tell you about when we had the martini babes in their costumes?
Oh, yeah.
Who were?
No.
I mean, here we are. I wish I'd worn my little black dress, but I didn't, because it would not show the martinis. So, hey, it's disappeared. Look at this.
Is the stain gone?
Turns out Aperol.
It's all
natural. Drink
so.
Fearlessly, because Aperol disappears on your white pants. Okay. Jonathan, in your mind, what kind of cocktail have you made?
I'll tell you what I've been drinking lately that you guys can all call blasphemy. I've been doing bourbon with root beer.
That sounds really good, Jonathan.
That doesn't sound bad.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
Well, good. I'm glad. It's like an adult root beer float, but without the...
Do you put the ice cream in it, too?
No. With the vanilla and those little chocolate notes with the bourbon? Absolutely, that would work.
So just no sorbet, no
I don't. Vanilla. I don't do that at all.
Wow, that sounds really... That actually sounds good to me.
I don't do the ice cream part.
Lime? No. Any lime in there?
Just the two.
Okay, just
brown
the two.
Brown and brown.
Brown and brown.
We call it the brown and brown? Or
yeah.
I like that name, Jonathan. Nice job. Okay.
Thanks.
You know right now you can go to ctmartini.org, O-R-G. And I hope that's easy for you to remember if you're in a spot where you can't go online. If you go to our station website, you will see, you might be listening online right now, you will see that we have all kinds of things set up there with information. But it's ctmartini.org. I want to say a special thanks to a frequent guest on the Food Schmooze, Alex Provence, who lives in Hartford, Connecticut, has been a wine guy for so long, and we're grabbing him as often as we can. Thanks to Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and to his bartender, Ryan Pelletier, who made an awesome drink. You might have come close to winning, and yet, just a hair off, just by a few points, unless we didn't really do the voting. What do we think? Alex, your first drink was so delicious, especially delicious. I almost would have voted for that, but maybe it's just the last.
I didn't spell enough.
Maybe it's the last cocktail I've tasted. Seems like the great one. Anthony DiSerio, president of the Connecticut Bartenders Guild of the United States, so the Connecticut chapter, thank you so much
for
choosing to be on this show and being a great resource for us. And for everybody who wants to make cocktails, you make it seem so easy and fun. I've learned so much thanks to you, and we'll see you at the event.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What should we wear to the event?
Oh, you see everything. You see shorts, you see jeans and t-shirts, you see the little black dress, summer strappy dresses, you see everything imaginable, every clothing imaginable.
So you can get really dressed up if you want.
You can do anything you want.
All.
You could do a tuxedo if you want. You could do anything. Or it's the tuxedo t-shirt.
With the Mountain Dew.
That's not the Mountain Dew.
You know, whatever you want. It's good to go at that event. And I'll tell you something. It is a pretty dazzling crowd. They are really, they know how to work this crowd.
It's a lot of fun.
It really is.
I'm looking forward to it this year. And I'm really looking forward to, unfortunately, not competing, but I got to do my thing here today, which I appreciate. But now to actually be able to go out on the floor. We usually try to travel out in shifts. We usually work with a partner. It's like, okay, you go around. Hey, did you go to booth two? Did you go to booth two? And come back. And so at least now, I can't wait to actually go out and experience it full on, like everybody should be going out and buying the tickets to do it themselves.
And we'll be following you.
Well, this is CT. You can go to online right now to ctmartini.org. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime, as you know. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show on WNPR.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift, except when it's cocktails. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.